More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Left, it's Spy Wednesday. We'll help you deal with the people who have betrayed your trust, disappointed you, or let you down in some way. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on this EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, it is Spy Wednesday on Holy Week. So we call it Spy Wednesday, not Lisa and I mean the church.
The church. Yeah, we made it up. No. The church calls it that.
Spy Wednesday because today's gospel is about Judas betraying Jesus. And, you know, historically in the timeline, of course, Judas sells Jesus out to the Sanhedrin the day before the Last Supper, which was on Holy Thursday. And then, of course, Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. And so the gospel is really all about that, the 30 pieces of silver that Judas received for turning Jesus over to the leaders of his time. And so in reflecting on that, we thought we'd spend some time talking about those times when we feel disappointed, betrayed, or let down by the people that we trust. Has someone you care about hurt you in some way that you're not sure how to recover from or get past? Have you been disappointed, let down, or betrayed by someone close to you? Are you struggling to know how to forgive or reconcile, or whether you even should? Let's talk about all those situations where we feel that those we trusted have let us down in some way. At 877-573-7825.
You know, I think this is such an important thing to look at because it speaks so much, it speaks so much to what Lent has been about. And as we walk through Holy Week, what resurrection in our lives and resurrection in our relationship with Christ really speaks to. You know, here we are looking at a time where Jesus was so brutally betrayed by someone he cared about, one of his closest. And then that person goes off and despairs and hangs himself. And there's no chance in this life for any sense of reconciliation or forgiveness there. But then, just a couple of days later, we have Peter also betray Christ by denying him three times. And Jesus said to him, you're going to do this, okay? You're going to do this before the cock crows, which from my understanding, from what I've been taught, is before the
call to prayer.
The call to prayer and the person who would cry out, you know, it's time to come to pray and all is well kind of thing. And so Peter denies him, not once, but three times. And yet, because Peter did not give in to despair, Christ comes to him resurrected and gives him a chance three times to recommit his love to Jesus. And Peter accepts that invitation of forgiveness and reconciliation and then is placed as the cornerstone of the church to build the church upon the rock upon which Jesus builds the entire Christian church. So when we are faced with betrayal, when we are faced with the sin of another person, the hurt that another person imposes upon us, we have choices to pray through. Do we just cut off the relationship entirely and not allow any kind of reconciliation or change? How do we forgive that person even if they're not asking for forgiveness? if we decide to reconcile with them, how do we do that in a way that doesn't get us hurt and betrayed again and just leaves us open to being somebody's, you know, kickboxing. Just to be kicked around again. How do we do all this in a way that not only is healthy for us, healthy for the relationship, but will make Jesus proud of us, right?
Yeah, there you go. And you know, I think it's important also to recognize, though, that even though Jesus willingly forgave Peter, there was a process to that forgiveness.
There was.
It wasn't just, you know, Peter just ignored the whole thing, and Jesus ignored the whole thing, and then they just went on with it.
And it's not even like Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said yes, and he went, "Okay, fine." Like, he asked him three times, and with every time, he gave him an instruction on how to be in relationship with him. It was, "Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." Three times, it wasn't just, "Oh, yeah, okay, everything's fine between us." It's, "Do you really love me? Are you really committed? And this is what I need from you." And I think often, and it's just kind of hitting me now, so maybe it's a Holy Spirit moment. If it doesn't hit you, just let it go. But sometimes we get calls from people, many times in the practice, we get calls from people that say, "Such and such went on between me and another person. I forgave them, and yet it keeps coming back and bothering me." Or, "I forgave them, and yet the relationship hasn't changed that much, and that I'll bring it up and say, you know, you're really not doing what I need you to do." And the person will say, "Well, you must not be a good Christian because you just keep throwing this in my face. You keep, stop bringing it up. You said you forgive me. Just leave it alone already." And we have very much this relationship, this moment in Scripture between Jesus and Peter, where Jesus is allowed to say, "You sure? Are we still on the same? Are you still going to work for my good?
And by the way, I need this from you.
And this is what I need.
To know that you're really serious about
it." And so,
yeah.
You know, we see this pattern where people who hurt us often try to make us feel guilty for that. And here we have our Lord and Savior saying, "No, this is the way to do this."
Yeah, because it's not, you know, it's not about just putting a Band-Aid over these kinds of wounds to the body of Christ. It's about genuinely healing them with a sincere effort to reconcile and a sincere effort to repair the damage that's been done. And so, you know, we work for the good of each other by saying, "This is what I need from you." You know, we don't want to hold that offense over someone's head, but asking them to do the actual work of healing the wound is not inappropriate.
No, that's creating a healthy relationship. So if you're thinking, "Well, it's Holy Week, I'm just going to bring it to Jesus in the Holy Week, during all of these services, during Easter Mass, and everything will be fine. It's too holy a week to work on this." No. This is the week.
And this is the
work on healing. And this is the work God wants us to do to be able to bring Him more into our lives and into our relationships, especially in anticipation of the Easter season. So if you're dealing with a relationship today where you've been hurt by someone you care about, you've been disappointed or let down or betrayed by someone close to you, and you're still struggling with that on how to forgive or reconcile or whether you even should, we're here to help you with that today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And I just want to take a quick second here because we, in introducing this and trying to make sure people would be served by this topic today, we mentioned the rest of Holy Week. I just want to take a second for those who have been away from the church for a while or looking at the church for the first time, perhaps tuning into Catholic radio even just after what happened in France this week and are saying, "What's all this about?" So this is Spy Wednesday, where Judas, one of Jesus's closest, betrayed him, and that led to his suffering and death, and eventually to his resurrection on Easter Sunday. For the rest of the week, whether you do this every year or this is new to you, we really do encourage you. Tomorrow is one of the most wonderful, wonderful nights of the year, where you can go and celebrate the fact that the Eucharist is the Eucharist. Tomorrow night is a celebration of the installation of the Eucharist at the Last Supper, where Jesus joined with his friends and says to them, "This is my body, this is my blood." And it's a beautiful Mass. We have the foot washing as Jesus washed all of his disciples' feet It just resonates with such meaning and such depth and such beauty. If you don't go to that normally, give it a try this year. The next day is Good Friday, where we commemorate the death and the passion of our Lord. If you don't usually do that, it is a wonderful thing to participate in and take that time of prayer and meditation and closeness to really understand what God did for you and how much He loves you. And then, of course, please, please, please participate in Easter this year, either Saturday night at the Easter Vigil, which is monumentally beautiful, and we start with the kindling of the light. New people come into the church. It is a fantastic Mass to participate in, or Sunday morning, such beautiful time of resurrection and healing and grace and center on who Christ is and who you are in Him. So, if this is your millionth Eastertide or your first, please know that you are welcome at any Catholic church this week with open arms and take part in it.
Amen. Well, we are taking your calls today about those people who have hurt or betrayed you or let you down in some way, and how do we move forward? How do we forgive? How do we reconcile in a healthy way, in a godly way? Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for your incredible mercy and profound forgiveness. You suffered so much betrayal and injury on our behalf, even to the point of death, and yet you forgave us, and you forgave all of those who hurt you. Help us to be inspired by your example, to be empowered by your example, to go forward and forgive and reconcile with those who have hurt us, let us down, or disappointed us in some way. But help us to follow your example in doing that in healthy ways that truly lead to a healing of the damage done in our lives, a healing of your body, so that through that process of forgiveness and reconciliation, you can be glorified and we can fulfill our call to create the communion that is both our responsibility and our destiny as your sons and daughters. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, it's Spy Wednesday. We're helping you deal with those people who have betrayed your trust in some way. Give us a call. Let's work it out together at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Chelsea, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Chelsea. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning. What can we do for you today?
My husband and I, really, and it's a family issue, are having challenges with my 15-year-old stepdaughter, who has really started to affect the family, and we want that to stop. But mostly within ourselves, we want to be able to forgive her for the decisions that she continuously is making and has been making over the last few years.
Like what? What are we talking about here exactly, Chelsea?
Down the negative path. She's doing terrible in school. She's accepting the influences of the devil. She's not doing a great thing.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
There are a lot of influences he puts on our lives. Which one in particular is she coping with here?
That's a big label.
That's like life.
Right.
What are we talking about exactly,
she's susceptible
Chelsea?
To peer pressure. Her wardrobe is, she borrows clothes from kids at school. Her wardrobe is very downhill. She takes things into her own matter, fighting with teachers, and I understand that some of these are teenager actions, but she's not.
No, not really.
No, they're not. It's that's a problem. But let me. Yeah. Okay, so give me a sense of the family dynamic here. How many kids are there?
How long ago was your husband's divorce? What has she been through in her life? Tell us about that.
Sure. They split up about 7 years ago, about 8 years ago now, excuse me. She with her two brothers were taken to California from Denver by their mom. And that really was a huge turning point in their life because their quality of life, their structure really went downhill when they went
to California. So when does she live with you guys now?
She does. They all do, yeah. So there's five total right now.
So you have five children altogether. Mm-hmm. So it's three from his previous marriage. Then you, the two of you have two children together?
Correct.
And she's the, where's she fit in all that?
She's the oldest.
Okay. So what are you trying to do with this? How are you addressing it so far?
Well, we have become more active in our parish. They alter serve, and she does it, and she does it well, but there's pushback to do it every time. And she's influencing her brothers.
No, okay, but what I'm saying, how are you trying to address her behavior? What are you doing to deal with the inappropriate behavior that you're not happy with?
Mm-hmm. We've met with teachers, talked to her through, of course, different ways.
What are you doing with her?
To deal with things. We've talked to her different ways to deal with things at school, her frustrations.
Okay. So you're not really doing anything with her, is what you're saying to me. Okay, I need to jump in, because you're not really dealing with the problem. You're lecturing her, right? And in a sense, you don't mean to be, but you're shaming her, too. And none of that's going to be helpful, okay? Let's talk for a minute about where bad behavior really comes from. And then how, because it's going to give you a way to understand how to move forward with it, okay? I don't have time to untangle this whole knot, but I'm going to give you some principles that I think will enable you to start thinking about this in a more productive way. Kids misbehave not because they're bad or because they're out to get you or because they want to manipulate you or make you crazy, although they can make us feel that way all the time.
All the time. Okay?
Kids misbehave because they don't know how to meet their needs in appropriate ways. And so when they feel like, for whatever reason, they can't come to mom and dad and say, hey, mom and dad, I need this. How do I get that? And they may not know it because they don't have the vocabulary for it, or they may not know it because they don't know that they can trust us with it. But when they don't know that they can come to us and say, hey, mom and dad, I need this, what they do is they either try to figure it out for themselves or they go to their friends to say, hey, how do you do that? And then they do what their friends do. And then we get all freaked out about it because, oh, my gosh, my children are being led down the path of perdition, all right? And they are. but the answer is not to preach at them or lecture them or shame them. The answer is to step back and say, why is my kid doing this? What is the need that my child is trying to meet? And how can I, as a parent, disciple my child in finding godlier ways to meet whatever that need is? So, Chelsea, you have a good heart in the sense that you want the best for your stepdaughter, and you are trying to lead her down a good path. But the way you're doing it is actually pushing her further and further away from you and from God, honestly, because what you're doing here is essentially saying you're focusing so much on her behavior that you're not saying, I want to listen to what you're saying to me about what your needs really are, and then I want to show you that you can actually meet those needs in a godly way. So my suggestion to you is I want you to pick up a copy of our Parenting with Grace book and take a look at the adolescent chapter. But I also want you to look into some good, faithful family counseling, because I think you're going to need to have a little bit of a shift in the way you guys approach this whole issue.
And Greg's talking about family counseling, not sticking her in counseling by herself. You, your husband, her, together, and possibly getting the other kids involved at some point.
What I'm telling you to do, we'll fix it, but I'm just not entirely sure that you're going to be able to do it on your own at this point, because this has
been
going on for several
years,
okay?
Yeah.
So start with some of the principles in Parenting with Grace in the teen chapter. Then build on that by, if you need some additional support, by either reaching out for some local resources or contacting us for the Pastoral Solutions Institute. We'll get you the rest of the way. This is something that can be relatively easily dealt with if you can approach it in a helpful discipleship way instead of the kind of punitive, lecturing, shaming sort of way that you've been going at it. I get it. I'm not criticizing you for this, but that's kind of what's been happening. And that's why she's rebelling, because she doesn't feel like she can tell you what her needs really are and be confident in your ability to give her godly counsel on how to meet those needs. Figure out how to do that process, the problem will resolve itself. We can help you with that if you need additional support. Check out the resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about those times when the people you love let you down, betray you, or hurt you in some way. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll talk it out together. In addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Tim and Sue Muldoon. Tim is a pastoral theologian with Boston College and the director of mission at Catholic Extension Society. Sue is a counselor and the director of family ministries at Good Shepherd Parish in the greater Boston area. And together they're the authors of several books on family spirituality, including 6 Sacred Rules for Families. They're going to be talking with us about practicing forgiveness in family life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and on this Spy Wednesday, we're helping you deal with the people who have betrayed your trust. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Tim and Sue Muldoon. Tim is a pastoral theologian and director of mission at Catholic Extension Society. Sue's a counselor and director of family ministries at Good Shepherd Parish in the greater Boston area. Together, they're the authors of several books on family spirituality, including Six Sacred Rules for Families. Tim and Sue Muldoon, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
Great to be with you.
So let's talk about this whole idea of forgiveness in family life. The reality is we will let each other down as parents, kids, husbands, and wives. How can we help our children begin to learn that language of forgiveness? Let's start with you, Tim.
Sure. Well, I think like all things with parenting, it's show, don't tell. You've got to give them concrete actions. Tell them specific words to use, not just it's okay, but in fact, I forgive you. You know, maybe that's a handshake. Maybe that's, you know, I will do a favor for you when I've hurt you. But to actually lead them through concrete actions that help them to connect, that our family is about sustaining and, in this case, repairing relationships.
That is such an important thing to do, because I think as parents we get so uncomfortable when our kids fight and betray each other that we just go with the, say you're sorry, and they say sorry, and you're like, fine, okay, go play. And we just leave it alone, and we don't know why they don't have the skills. These are skills we need to teach. How to forgive and how to make amends are the huge first steps we must take.
Well, with Sue, let me ask you as a follow-up question. I mean, since Lisa's pointing out here that just saying the magic words aren't enough, there's actually a process of forgiveness. So how do we teach or start thinking about that process as family?
One of the things I think we recognize is that we expect that we're going to let each other down, that we're all human, we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to let each other down. But when we're in a family relationship, we have to kind of push past the fact that the people we love have weaknesses and recognize that I'm going to extend some trustworthiness to you, even if you've just broken my trust. I'm going to expect that I'm going to call you into better behavior. So we point out the way that you've hurt us or someone else in the family, and we say we're going to forgive you, but we expect something more of you. And even if I don't feel like I can trust you, I'm going to act in a loving way towards you, and that's going to kind of call you into better behavior.
Here's a follow-up, though. We were talking about this before you guys came on, that sometimes, you know, when you say to a person, okay, I forgive you, but I need thus and such from you, you get pushback from people. Well, then you're not really forgiving me, or that's not a very Christian thing to do. I mean, how would you respond to that objection that it is actually okay to ask for a concrete sign of remorse?
We recognize that God wants us to be in healthy relationships. We forgive, but that doesn't mean we open ourselves up for unnecessary unkindness or abuse. And it also means that God also is expecting each person to grow into their best self. And our role in relationship is to partner with each other and help each other with that. So just saying, I forgive you, and it's okay for you to act in any way, is not a godly expectation. We still say, I'm going to be expecting the best in you, and I'm going to be allowing you to expect the best in me. So forgiveness gives us an openness to not hold a grudge, to not use our anger toward that other person, and to let go of the negative feeling around it. But it doesn't mean we drop the expectation that you would act in a more loving way the next time, and that's exactly what families should be doing, is drawing each other closer to the way God would want us to ask, but that's not beautiful. Acting in anger or spite toward each other.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. So, Tim, back to you for just the last comment here. You know, as we enter into this Holy Week, if families are kind of struggling with this sort of sense of letting each other down and struggling to know how to forgive, what would you encourage families to do in this time to really draw from the grace of this season?
Well, obviously, this Holy Week gives us so many symbols and you know, obviously going to the Mass of Holy Thursday, Lisa, you were talking about that before. The entire sequence of Easter is about moving from forgiveness to new life. It's a wonderful teaching opportunity, no matter what the age. And even, you know, drawing back to Sue's comment, these are teaching opportunities in the home. When we wrong each other, there's new chance to go deeper into what forgiveness means, what reconciliation means, what repairing of relationship means. And
I got to jump in with that, Tim. Thank you so much. And folks.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Traveling for spring break? You don't have to miss your favorite Ave Maria program. Bookmark AveMariaRadio.net or download the Ave Maria Radio app on your smart device. You can listen to more than a dozen live or recorded Ave Maria radio shows wherever and whenever you want. On the road, in the line at the amusement park, at the beach, or in the evening after a productive day. Stay connected. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, this is Lisa Popchak. Piles of research show that what kids really need to grow up happy and healthy is you, the parents. Being an involved, loving, present parent who builds a trust-filled relationship with your child is the first line of defense between him and the rest of the world. But this has to start at the very beginning. Respond to your infant or toddler's needs promptly, generously, and consistently. Don't make them work for your attention. Trust the feeding and sleeping schedule God built into your unique and unrepeatable baby, instead of imposing arbitrary schedules on your child. Prompt, generous, and consistent response to your child's needs will lay the foundation for a strong parent-child relationship from the start, and allow you to grow in virtue by practicing heroic, self-donative love. You are your child's best hope for a healthy life full of joy. For more on raising happy, healthy kids, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today we are commemorating Spy Wednesday, the day that Judas betrayed Jesus, by looking at the times when people close to us have betrayed us, disappointed us, or let us down in some way. How do we recover? How do we heal? How do we forgive? Reconcile? Should we? What does it even look like? Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Annie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Annie. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, my husband recently admitted to having an extramarital affair. We've been married through the church 3 years. We've been together 12 years.
And when did he have this affair, and when did it end? Or did it end, I guess?
Well, it started, we were separated for 2 months. And in that process, I was too prideful, too angry. So all I could do was just focus on the hurt that he had caused me. So every time he'd tell me to come home, I would tell him, I can't right now, I'm working on myself. So I was kind of like just pushing him away and pushing him away.
And this was, I'm sorry, at what point in the relationship did this happen?
Before or after you had your church wedding?
After. This was just recently. Okay. This was within the last 3 or 4 months.
And, that helps a lot.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Yes, and, so once he told me, I had totally surrendered to God, and God revealed to me what all I had to work on myself, and I did. So when I was trying to talk to him and tell him, I've forgiven you for everything, I want to move on with our marriage, then he was backing off and saying, no, I can't, you hurt me too bad, this, and this. Then he decided he wanted to, and then the process is when he told me he had been seeing a much younger person. And I said, I love you, and I'm willing to get past this. I want to make our marriage work, and I'll work on the on forgiving you, because I just want to be with you, and I'm sorry for everything. Well, he was sorry, but now it seems like he keeps telling me, I've closed my heart to God. I've closed my heart to you. I'm trying to love you like I did. I just can't. I'm still so hurt. I'm this, I'm that.
So let me ask you this, Beth. What are you guys doing to try to work through this besides just talking to each other?
We've been seeing a marriage counselor once a week.
Okay.
We pray together at bedtime. Morning. I try not to ask questions because, this is what gets me, is that it's almost like he messed up and I'm the one trying to make it up, if that makes sense.
I understand sort of what you're saying, but give me an example of what you mean.
I try to show him how much I want to be with him by, sending them I love you texts, or I'll buy him a card, or I write him a love letter once a week.
Okay.
Just little, doing his favorite thing.
And you feel like you're working harder on the relationship to try to get him, his heart back, than he is, and he's the one who betrayed you by having this affair. I understand.
Exactly.
All right, so let me talk you through the process here. I'm glad you're getting that marriage counseling help. That's going to be really important to stick with it, even when you feel frustrated or like it's not working, or just hang in there, please. I also want you to check out a program called Retrovi, That means rediscovery, and it's a program for couples who are struggling in their relationship, can really help get things back on track. It's not a substitute for therapy, but it is a complement to therapy. And you go to helpourmarriage.com to learn more about that program. They have retreats all over the country throughout the year. And then there are, in addition to that weekend retreat, there's 6 follow-up sessions as well. It can really help open up those lines of communication. And it can be wonderful to see other couples who've struggled with the kinds of things that you're dealing with and have found their way to a even better relationship than they could have ever imagined. So it's a great program. What I want to do, though, is walk you through the process here. You know, there are lots of couples who have problems. Not every couple who has problems cheats. The reason that infidelity, 9 times out of 10, will rear its ugly head is because the couple is having problems and at least one of those spouses isn't very good at dealing with conflict and expressing their emotions and expressing their needs. Right? That person has a tendency to stuff things because they don't know how to take charge of their emotional life and advocate for their needs. And so they maybe say, okay, I kind of like this. And if you don't jump up and down and say, oh, yes, absolutely, honey, we'll go do that right away, they just shut down and say, oh, yes, she's not really interested in me. And then they stuff it. And years go by, and then they get depressed. But they also aren't emotionally savvy enough to recognize that they're depressed. They just think that they feel bad because you're not paying attention to them or you're not taking care of them. So then they find somebody who makes them feel good, and they use that relationship to self-medicate for the depression. Okay? And that's where the affair comes in. So the reason you have the dynamic that you've got, and this is not an uncommon dynamic, is because your husband doesn't know how to manage his own emotional life. He thinks that his emotions are caused by you, good or bad. And that's why you're in this position of trying to win him back, and he's shutting you out because he feels hurt, and he doesn't know how to process that hurt in a healthy way other than to just shut down. The process of recovering from infidelity doesn't just mean giving up the affair and trying to take better care of each other. It means learning how to manage emotions and conflict better and how to deal with the depression that the cheater, if for want of a better way to put it, it has dealt with that led up to that. And so I want, not every therapist identifies that right away. So I want you to make sure that you bring that up in counseling, okay? That a big part of this is your husband's inability to really take responsibility for his own feelings and process those emotions in healthy ways. And because of that, he tends to shut down and look for something else to make him feel better. And that's where the infidelity comes in. And until you guys work through that part of the whole thing, you're going to still be in the middle of dealing with this. I'm saying this because lots of couples get to the place where the affair is over and they start going out on, I don't know, a regular date night or something. And they think, okay, well, then we're done now. And that is not it. It's going to come back to bite you if you don't deal with the fact that he does not know how to manage his emotions and deal with conflict and express his needs in a forthright and appropriate way. Make sure you're addressing that in your counseling. And I think Retrify will also be a big help to you in that. Again, their website is helpyourmarriage.com. I'm going to suggest one other book that I'd like you to go through together. It's our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which looks at 8 research-based habits that healthy couples practice in their relationship. It walks you step-by-step through which of those areas are your strengths, which of those areas are challenges for you, and how you can learn to integrate those healthy habits into your relationship. I can guarantee you that it's going to make a world of difference if you work through it together, okay? So that's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. If you can work through the suggestions that I'm making here in counseling with the therapist you're working with already, follow up with Retrovi, and work through how to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love together, I think it will really open your eyes to some ways to really heal this relationship and get to a better, more stable, and more rewarding place than you've ever been in the history of your relationship together. I'm just asking you to take advantage of the grace of this season to do that very hard work and trust that there is a resurrection after this cross, Annie. Thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today on this Spy Wednesday about dealing with betrayal, hurt, the times when people that we care about let us down in some way. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathy, who's listening to EWTN in Denver, Colorado.
Hi there, Kathy. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. About 2 weeks ago, my daughters and I got together along with my granddaughter and my younger daughter, who is a recovering addict, and I don't know whether she's using again or not, but I do know that she's really depressed, and she was angry through the whole kind of day or so that we were all together. And the upshot was she ended up throwing hot coffee in my face.
My.
And in front of her daughter. And I want to forgive her, but I don't really want to be around her right now.
It sounds like it's dangerous to be around her right now.
So
what can we help you with today?
Well, I still want to be around my granddaughter. And sometimes that necessitates being around her mom if I'm going to do that, unless I don't know, I might be able to make some other arrangements. Because she's not always with her daughter. But
okay.
I the family situation may necessitate me being in proximity to her. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to be, it's going to be awkward, I'm sure, but I don't want to be punitive. I don't want to be mean. I really enjoyed what you said about Peter and Christ. Do I forgive before she's asked for forgiveness, or before she's, if she's not sorry, I still need
sure,
to forgive.
Let's,
on top of that, let me ask you, one thing. How did she get clean before? Because you're saying you're seeing signs that maybe she's using again. So there was a time of sobriety here, you're inferring. Do you know what process she used to get clean prior to this?
Yeah, she was in jail for 240 days.
She was in jail and came out clean. Did she receive any counseling during that time?
I don't know if she did during that time, but she has had many counseling. She knows it all.
She knows it all. She's been through counseling. It did give her a time of sobriety. The other question is, do you feel your grandchild is in danger here? If she's this volatile at this point, if she may be using, are you concerned for the safety and well-being of her grandchild?
I am somewhat concerned for my granddaughter, yes. And she lives with my daughter lives with my ex-husband. My granddaughter goes back and forth from their house to his son and his wife, who took care of her and have been taking care of her. But as my daughter's out, she's getting a little more parenting time and whatever. So there are.
But is your daughter doing anything? You see your daughter doing anything that could jeopardize the health or well-being of your granddaughter? Something that would be abusive, for example.
Not directly right now.
All right, because we just want to make sure that she's safe. Because when little ones are involved, that's important.
Yeah, it's a lot more than just trying to work on your relationship. It's keeping this child completely safe.
All right, so let's just talk in general, kind of about the whole idea of forgiveness and reconciliation. Okay, because as you said, you have lots of different ways that you could be with your granddaughter. So setting some boundaries with your daughter will not necessarily cut off that relationship. And I agree with you. I think that you want to be in contact with your granddaughter, not just because you're her grandma, but because you care about her and want to make sure that she's safe. Okay, and that she has healthy,
she needs as many healthy, responsible grown-ups in her life as possible.
That said, what is the process of forgiving your daughter for what she did to you? It's two things. When you say, do I need to forgive her if she's not sorry? Forgiveness is something that we kind of do for ourselves. And reconciliation is something that heals the relationship. They're two different things. They're related, but they're different. St. Augustine said that forgiveness is when we surrender our desire for revenge. Right? At the point where you don't want to hurt your daughter for having hurt you, then you've forgiven her.
So if you're in a place where you know that a lot of her chaotic behavior is controlled by her addiction, and you're praying for her well-being, and you don't want revenge against her, you're in a place of forgiveness. Doesn't mean that you can just throw yourself wholeheartedly into a trusting relationship with her
when she's not living in a trustworthy way.
Now, saying that you don't want revenge against her does not necessarily mean, though, that you don't want her to do certain things to be healthy or to fix the relationship.
Right, because that's not revenge. That's working for her good. That's
right.
Love.
She might act like you're being vengeful.
Oh, good point.
All right, but that's not the same thing. Like, if you randomly lash out, you call her names, you gossip about her behind her back, you do petty things to tick her off, that's being vengeful, okay? But saying to her, hey, I love you and I want to be in a relationship with you, but I can't feel safe around you unless I know that you're sorry for what you did. Or I can't feel safe around you unless I see you going to your meetings, you know, to deal with your addiction. Whatever it is that you need from her to know that you can be safe around her, that she takes responsibility for her behavior, and that she doesn't, and she's going to work really hard to not do that again, that is not being vengeful. That is being loving, because to love her is to work for her good, right? And to say, I can't be around you or I can't be as close to you as I would like until I get an apology for this, or until I see you behaving in more responsible ways in general, or especially with your feelings, until I see you doing X, Y, and Z to maintain your sobriety, whatever it is, you're allowed to ask for those kinds of things, because that is the process of reconciliation. You go to confession, for example. Okay, when you go in and you confess your sins and you receive forgiveness, but then the priest says, I want you to go do this. Okay, there's a doing that has to happen for the reconciliation to be complete. God forgives us and surrenders his anger toward us, if you will, for our sins, but we've still done damage to the body of Christ, and we have to heal that in some way. We're still on the hook for the temporal consequences of our sin when we leave the confessional, and we need to go fix it in this life or the next. That's what purgatory is about, right? So it's okay to follow that same model in our personal relationships and to say, I forgive you, but there's still something that needs to be done to be fully reconciled with me. And if the person is truly sorry, they'll do those things, and then we'll be healed, and that's good. If the person isn't willing to do those things, then we may forgive them, but not be reconciled to them. And that's an okay place to be too. It's not comfortable, but it's not inconsistent with the Christian life, is all I'm trying to say. So, Kathy, as you pray through this, my hope is that, yes, you will be able to forgive her even if she doesn't ask for an apology, because you're surrendering that anger and that hurt and that desire to hurt her back. But I do want you to not reconcile until you see her behavior is healthy and safe to be around, so that you can both call her to greater health and make sure that you are safe and your dignity is being respected in this relationship. Thanks for the call, Kathy. We have to go to break. When we come back, continuing to talk with you about dealing with the betrayal, disappointment, and hurt in your life. Has someone you love let you down in some way? On the Spy Wednesday, we're looking at how to heal after betrayal at 877-573-7825. Stick around. More to life coming back after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This Easter, from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Tickets and showtimes available at BreakthroughMovie.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot?
Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about dealing with disappointment, betrayal, or those times when people you care about have let you down in some way. On this Spy Wednesday, we're looking at how do we forgive and reconcile and move forward. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mike, who's listening in Columbus, Ohio, on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
So my problem I'm struggling with, I came from such an emotionally dysfunctional childhood that even though I have a fantastic marriage and have been for 30-plus years, 35 years, when I go to confession, I have a hard time dealing with the concept of, okay, two Hail Marys and see you next week.
Sure.
Kind of a deal. I just feel like it's just, I don't know.
It's too easy, right?
I'm trying to separate the emotion. Yeah. I'm trying to separate the emotional away from the intellectual. So much of my emotional development was so, held back that I really seek out ways to intellectually accept Christ's forgiveness.
Yeah.
Books I've read, Chesterton, C.S. Lewis, Robbie Zacharias, Lane Craig. Anyhow,
you're really searching for this, man.
And the thing is, it's not an intellectual. Intellectual formation is an important part of the Christian life.
Very.
But there's an emotional piece here that you're really struggling with, and you can't find an intellectual answer for the emotional question you're asking. Is what I'm hearing you say.
True.
Yeah. So you're asking how can you more readily accept the forgiveness that's being extended to you when you go to confession? Is that your question?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. 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 No problem. Yeah, okay. So let's take a look at that. So a couple of things I want to share with you. The first one is, you know, the whole idea of the two Hail Marys and an Our Father kind of penance. It does. It sounds so easy, and it's like too easy. Like we should be forced to suffer a little more for what we did, right? Why is God doing this? Why is the church being so easy on us? And it comes from, I think, you know, from an unhealthy way that families tend to approach discipline. We have a tendency to think that good behavior will spontaneously erupt if we make children suffer enough. And if I just make them suffer enough, then they'll be good. And then we grow up as adults thinking that in order for me to be good or accept God's forgiveness, I have to suffer more too. And the whole thing is just messed up. Because we don't misbehave because we're bad and we haven't suffered enough. We misbehave because we don't know how to get our needs met. And we misbehave because we don't have the relationship with the person who could show us how to get our needs met in an appropriate way, okay? And so what God and the Church are doing through the sacrament of reconciliation is giving you, through that with that penance, giving you time after you've confessed your sin to sit in the lap of your mother, the Church, and receive the love of the Father so that you can be shown the right way to get these needs met in the future.
So they're saying take some time in prayer, and these are some ways that you can start, hoping that as your heart breaks open, as you sit there and you say your two Hail Marys and your Our Father, that you spend even a little bit more time, where you receive such grace that you spend time every day and let Christ more into your life in that healing and giving relationship.
Yeah, and you're not saying those couple of Hail Marys and Our Father to jump through the spiritual hoop, right? You're doing that so that That's Father's way of inviting you to just sit in Mom's lap for a second. Okay?
And if you want to look at this intellectually, what I encourage you to do over the next few days of Holy Week is to go through in the Scriptures all of the times where Jesus said people were forgiven. He never said, I'll forgive you once you go and do all this stuff.
I'll forgive you once, you know, once you've gone and flogged yourself or people throw some stones at you. No, in fact, he stopped the punishment of the throwing of stones that was going on. And he said, I forgive you, now go and sin no more. Or to Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. It's always, I forgive you, let's continue this relationship together. And so look at those and see that in all of those times where Jesus says he forgave someone, there was never a punishment involved, but there always was an invitation to greater relationship. Meditate on that this week and ask God how to be in greater relationship with him every day.
And so you take that time that you spend praying, saying that penance, as a way of saying, now I want to do the real work of reforming my life. Okay,
right.
That's where the hard work comes in, Mike. So let yourself off the hook for beating up on yourself and take the grace that you're being given in the sacrament to actually work on the reform. That's hard enough without dragging all that baggage behind us. God bless you, Mike. Thank you so much for the call. And folks, if there's more that we can do to help you heal, reconcile, forgive, and move forward from the betrayals and hurts in your life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to check out the resources we have there, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your life and relationships. With that, have a very blessed Holy Week and a happy Easter.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.